Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father. Glory to your name, Father. We just thank you, Lord, for sending your son to the cross to allow us access to your throne, Lord. We praise you for it. Lord, we lift up the people up there in St. Louis, that area there. And we thank you, Father, that nobody's hurt, that nobody got hurt at all. And we thank you, Lord, that Tracy and Jeremy's house is dry. And we praise you, Lord, for showing your glory through this process. And we praise you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your leading tonight in this fellowship. We thank you, Father, for speaking the things through us that you'd like us to talk about on this What Makes a Prayer Warrior. And we praise you for it, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that a lot of revelations would come forth from some of these people here are prayer warriors. Lord, we just praise you and glorify you. And thank you, Lord, that we do have an open heaven, that when we do pray, we know that we can trust you to follow through on your promises. And we thank you for it, Father. I just thank you so much, Jesus, for going to the cross for it. Just to think somebody did that for all of us, not even knowing us, but did it anyway. Lord, we just thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all you're going to get accomplished tonight through your people. Thank you, Lord, for getting Tracy on here to give us an update. And we praise you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Okay. Just a little update. Tracy and Jeremy Jackson lives over in the St. Louis area, and that's where they had all that flooding. And she sent me some photos of the floods around their house. And it's, you know, water's up in the streets. They got a lot of rain in just a few hours. The storm drain system wasn't able to handle it all. And this was earlier this afternoon. And we prayed for them. We just believed that their house is dry and that no one got hurt in this flood right there in St. Louis. You want to add anything, Julie?
Just what I had read and what I had seen on the footage that I saw, it's called train thunderstorming. It's just went straight across east to west. It didn't go on the north-south storming a normal storm track. Yeah, I don't know if it's weather warfare or not, but you know, it started. Yep. I think, you know, they got hit with I don't know how many inches of rain in a very short period of time, and that's why they've got so much flooding there. And from what I can tell, there's only one loss of life that I read, but I don't know how accurate and up to date that is. In St. Louis, Missouri, Dave, St. Louis, Missouri, and
that's where Tracy Jackson is.
Yeah. Tracy and Jeremy. They're in that area.
Tracy and Jeremy.
Yeah. So anyhow, we're just believing that the water didn't come up further to their house. And what she sent a picture of, it was like right at their porch. And, you know, there were some places in low-lying areas wherever they were at. It's like there was like, I think with the one death that they recorded that I saw was they pulled somebody out of their car. And apparently at one point, the water was like 8 feet deep in that area. Imagine 8 feet deep. Crazy. So just too much water at one time. So just believing that everyone there is safe and provided for.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Or would like to pray for somebody? How about a testimony? Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
I know, and we prayed for me the other night because we were having storms here. It settled right down. I mean, it looked like all that red was going to circle me and it was going to, you know, eat us alive, but nothing happened. It got quiet. And I mean, it started out flashing here and I said, uh-oh, power's flashing. And we prayed against it. You guys said, and it said, no, nothing would happen. And it was good. Nothing happened. It was just kind of settled right down after that. Got some light rain and something else happened. I can't remember what it was. I'll think of it. Something else we prayed about, and it was like it came through. So, anyways, thank you, Lord. Thanks for the prayers.
Oh, I'm muted. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I was on my way to work today from my grandparents' house, and I saw an accident on I-75 going south, and it was a single car accident, and the car was, like, flipped on its back, and there was a line of cars on the side of the road going out to help them.
Okay, could you tell if he was hurt or not?
No.
Well, you want to pray for him?
Yeah. Father, we just come before you. We just pray for these couple that were in this accident. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that they weren't hurt and that everything is fine physically. Speaking except for the car, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Missy.
We were visiting my family over the weekend from my mom's. We had a surprise 80th birthday party for her, and everything went really well. Just felt really blessed that everything went well. And my mom was saying that when I talked to her yesterday that her knees have been really bothering her. She that she's had this back surgery. Seems like her knees have been bothering her more or whatever. I don't know if it's because of I don't know why, but I'd just like to pray for her about that. Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that for restoring and healing my mom's knees, Lord, for giving her the faith to believe you rather than doctors, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for taking that out of her heart. The whole thought of getting her knees done, Lord. I just praise you, Lord, for doing that. And that she sees you as her healer. And I just ask you for your mercy and grace upon her. And until she comes to the faith, Lord, for her healing, Lord, I ask you for your mercy and grace and that she be in as little pain as possible, Lord. I know you're using all this, and it's like I don't want to pray it away in one respect, but I just ask you for your mercy and grace, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for doing it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We believe we're missing. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right, Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, I just got a praise report.
Yeah.
My dad got his dentures today.
Well, praise the Lord. It's corn eating time.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah,
I got to get used to seeing him with teeth now. So
Well, now all the world knows, so praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Julie said, make you smile a lot, Nick. Amen.
I did when I first got in the car.
Okay, good deal. Go ahead, Renita.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, it's going to take a while for us to get used to seeing them that way. It's kind of weird. But praise the Lord, it's all done. And he's just going to get used to it. And it's going to be like it's natural teeth and he'll be good. So praise the Lord. But I do have another, I guess, praise report. A couple of things happened. Where do I start? Let me think. So last night, we went to my mom and dad's house for dinner, and we had dinner and we played some cards with them, played some bridge and stuff, and it was like 10 o'clock at night, and we just sat down on the couch to chit chat for a little while. And my dad's always asking me all these questions, and I'm trying to give him, you know, mostly about the world and what's going on in the world and all that. And then we kind of got done with that whole part of the conversation, and then my mom started asking me about, well, you know, when you guys are on your phone call, on your fellowship, you guys talk about all these politics and Trump and what's going on and all this. And I'm like, you know, a little bit, Mom, but we talk a lot about the history of what the Bible says has happened in the past, because we know that's going to happen again. And so we just try to understand the past really well, so that we can know what's coming and we can understand it. And so I was explaining that to her a little bit. So, and she just kept asking one question after another, and I was having to go into all this, you know, they don't have very much information, so you can't just give a quick answer. You have to like, oh yeah, back in Exodus when Moses came and took the people out of Israel, and you have to give them the whole story about how, the Lord's going to take care of us in the wilderness and how he did it in the past. And we have faith that he's, you know, that's what's going to happen again. So that was really kind of a neat, just a nice time to be able to share things with them. And so, we went to bed like at midnight, and then my mom and dad had both gotten their latest booster shot. So they'd been boosted once, and this was their second booster. And so they had both had like a little bit of a fever and stuff. And then my mom last night had really bad leg cramps and stuff. So she was sitting at the table and just having some pain and stuff. And I said, well, you mind if I pray for you, Mom? You know, I'd like, because Nick and I, we've been talking about them having gotten the booster, and we both prayed last night over it together and agreed that, you know, they would not be affected by it in any way, and just did the praying that we could. And then this morning I prayed with my mom, I prayed over her about it, and just saying that it wouldn't have any effect on her and she would be healed and she wouldn't have these cramps and things. And so she was kind of, it was kind of funny because she said, is that how you prayed for our friend Parl? I'm like, what are you talking about, Mom? She said, yeah, I was at the graduation party. We went to a graduation party last weekend. And this friend of ours, her name is Parl, she said, yeah, I couldn't talk at all day. And then I was with Vanita, and all of a sudden my voice came back. And she did something. I don't know what she did. I'm like, oh. So I just claimed it for the Lord there. I'm like, yeah, the Lord must have, you know, the Spirit moved and healed her. And so she's like, well, yeah. So, I mean, she just had this idea that I had this power, which I do. Praise the Lord. The Lord, Lord's power. And so I was able to, I think, you know, so I just gave her this idea of believing in what I was praying for her body and her, you know, her cramps and things like that. So just putting that little bit of faith in her because of that little incident that happened last weekend. So that was kind of exciting. So it was kind of neat weekend that way, the week of evening that way. So praise the Lord for just all the teachings that were I've just, you know, all the studies that we've been going through and everything, the conversations we have, and they just all, you know, the Lord just works it so that I can answer their questions. And before, I wasn't able to do that so succinctly, I don't feel like, as I am now. I think things just kind of make more sense, well, because I know the truth now. So anyways, praise the Lord for that. Amen.
Okay, Tracy's in here, and she says in the chat, our Father has protected and kept us during the flood. Roads are fine now. Tracy, is your house, it never did get wet, did it?
No, sir, not one drip. Praise God, in the whole city. pretty much, yeah. Almost the whole city, minus my street, got flooded. Thank you, Jesus. And trust me, it's usually not that way before.
Oh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for answering prayers. We just praise you, Lord, for saving that whole street. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good update. All right, Greg, go ahead.
Good evening for most of you. I just got a quick testimony. As you guys know, I'm still frantically trying to pack this house up, and I've had a couple of bits of grace on that, but it's okay when you guys have a need. I don't mind praying, but when I have a need, it's really desperate. So, but no, that's not my testimony. Sorry. When I first got this place a year ago, I had some conversation with the mother of the gentleman he's a married man who owns this house. And, you know, I won't go into the whole story, but only on the phone. And I think about a year ago, I told that account anyway. But we had some in-depth conversations, though we have never met. And one of the things she was saying to me at the time about, you know, her son and daughter-in-law and how they have been wanting to have a child, and she has had a number of miscarriages, et cetera. Anyway, there was some element of being a Christian in there. I'm not sure exactly what, but I said, okay, well, you know, and we spoke about a number of things, but I said, you know, okay, well, I'll pray for her then. I'll pray for that, you know. Well, she wanted a grandson, et cetera, or grandchild, et cetera. Anyway, that's the background. Yesterday, I was supposed to be out of the house. It wasn't. Anyway, the property manager was here, and the wife of the owning couple came as well with her mother, sorry. And she walks in the door, and she is just about to drop. She was heavily pregnant. Anyway, that's the testimony. I can't hang around. I'm sorry, folks. I've got a lot of stuff to do in a short time to do it in.
Okay. All right, Lord, thank you for getting Greg packed up, ready to go. To a place that you've already got picked out for him, Lord. We thank you for it. Jesus' name.
Amen, 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 amen. Yep, good on you, Lord. Okay, guys, I'll check out. Otherwise, I won't get done.
See you, Greg.
Bye.
Good to see you, buddy. If you need some help, holler at Rion. He'll help you.
Oh, okay. He's on the road, isn't he? All right. I'll check you out.
See you, bud.
Bye.
Okay, Rhea. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Carol.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
That's a sound test. Is it working?
Yes, it is.
Good. So I just wanted to say, I guess a praise report. I think you know that since last January, I felt this call to be willing to give up my condo, my home. And when I would make my decision, God would let me know what the next step is. So, and I'm on this leave from work right now. And I have just been getting so much closer to the Lord. I realize that one day with you, Lord, is so much more precious than any day in the world and in work. And so today I had a Well, I had two things. I met with an agent that I really believe I'm going to put my condo up for sale now with this agent. And I said, I'm going to just pray about it one more night. And then the insurance for my absence right now, they just denied my coverage. So they're saying they're not going to pay my time off. And it was so amazing because I really felt like this amazing sense of peace covering me. And just guiding me to say, oh, okay, is there something I can do next about this? And he says, well, you can appeal. I said, okay, I'm going to appeal this decision and I thank you. I felt like God gave me so much peace. Normally I would have, and either way, whether it gets accepted or not, I really felt this incredible peace to be, oh, wow. I've been asking to be free of the fear of provision, to trust God as my provider. And, that Jesus is my husband, that Abba Daddy God is my provider and he's going to take care of me because I'm seeking him and I want to go to this whole new level with him. And so that's all. I received that information. I sent out a prayer. I didn't want to declare any fear. And I've just been in praise all afternoon. One of our sisters sent me something on, you know, the power of prayer. So I just soaked in that. I got up and I did some praise and I thought, wow, this is the Lord really, you know, showing up in this change. And we'll see, you know, some people were saying, oh, maybe you need to talk to your doctor. And I just sent the form to the doctor, said, you know, I have to send an appeal. I need, you know, whatever information, the clinical notes, they call them. For the insurance to consider a reappeal. But I really felt like, okay, just send that off, but that's just not important. In the past, I would have tried to control that. I would try to put all the information. I would have, you know, just wanted to make sure that I'm going to be provided for and that I won't be out on the street, so to speak. So freedom, something is happening and I'm so, so, so grateful. I just felt this peace on me. I sensed fear wanted to come back, but it couldn't even get past this huge, huge, beautiful covering of the Lord's peace that was on me. And then I met with this agent as well. And I really sensed that this is the person that God wants me to interact with for the sale of my condo. And the going price is insane, as in like, if God really does want to sell this, this would help me to be mortgage free and to have some kind of provision for the next phase of where he wants to take me. And in my heart, I really felt like I can't go back to that job. It was sucking all my energy left to praise and prayer and worship the Lord. I couldn't, I was just too tired at night. And I would just make it to my Tuesdays and Thursdays with you guys, which was, thank God, it's helped carry me. Anyway, so I'm just continuing to take that next step, be willing to let go of everything to follow me. And I'm going, all right, Lord, here's that next place. So anyway, I'm free from fear. Let's just put it, I just want to declare that. And that's number one. And number two, he set up another divine appointment with that couple that we talked about last year that I met, Alan and Jenny. Alan had the stutter and, you know, they've been questioning who is God. And so I had another rendezvous with them and I sent them the link to Sovereign God. I really felt like maybe they should be reading that. And I sent them some other information. But I would just like to put them back in prayer because they are seeking, but they're kind of blocked. They're saying, why did God allow, you know, the Jewish people to be killed by the Nazis? That's what's blocking them. So I don't want to get into the debate with them, but I just want to say, Lord, thank you for Alan and Jenny. Thank you for their inquisitive heart. Thank you for putting them back on my journey again. Thank you for delivering me of fear and bringing me to UBM that we can go to that whole beautiful next surrendered place. You know, I'm just seeking your wills because my heart is always to be praying for other people. But I know that that's difficult when I'm boggled down in some kind of fear. So this deliverance is happened and I'm going to keep going for that freedom so that we can keep lifting up Martine and her little family. I met a week ago. Jenny and Alan, and that, you know, that they, that whatever you do through my heart, it will be for them to know you, your love, your glory, and above all, to know your son, that they can be set free. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for UBM. And I thank you for this amazing day and the peace that you have given me that surpasses all human understanding. I don't need to try to figure it out. I need to just rest in you. And I thank you that you are the greatest teacher ever. Amen.
Amen. Leave us done. Lord, thank you for taking fear away from fear. You have no place there in her. We thank you, Father, for taking it out in Jesus' name. Amen. You can't come back neither. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Missy.
I have a testimony. I forget what day it was last week. I had one of those headaches, and I've pretty much come to the conclusion that those headaches I get are from anxiety, stress, tension. And it doesn't have to be that I'm feeling anxious or anything. It's just that spirit will attack me or whatever. And I've been learning to really battle it and all, but anyway, I was trying to, one evening last week, I was trying to put these new blades on the clippers that I used to clip fudge. And it wasn't coming off. I just had to get the old ones off and wasn't coming off the way they said. And I had one of those headaches that I was fighting with, and I was like trying to get this done, and I'm like asking the Lord to help me get it off and figure out what to do, you know, because I couldn't get it off, and it was just like I was getting a little stressed because I didn't feel good, and I was trying to, and I'm like, in the name of Jesus, I command this anxiety to go. You are not mine. I'm asking the Lord. I'm not anxious about this. and it just like a little bit after that, I noticed that all of a sudden I felt so much better and it went quickly. I was like, thank you, Lord. And then I felt some kind of trying to come on me last night before I went to bed, and I got up this morning and I felt that, and it kind of got a little worse as I went. So around around 1 o'clock this afternoon, I came against it, and I told this anxiety to go from me, and because it's just the spirit that tries to play tricks on me and give me this pain, and then makes me feel anxious too, tries to make me feel anxious. But anyway, so it was like the enemy was trying to keep me from giving Fudge a bath, and, you know, doing her in between groomings, between major groomings. And I'm like, no, you're gone. You're defeated. The Lord defeated you, you know, back 2000 years ago. I have the victory over you. Jesus got the victory over you. Anyway, and it was like, as soon as I sat down and I started working on Fudge, I could just feel all of a sudden this knotting starting to go away, and the headache, I mean, it went away really quick, and I'm like, praise you, Jesus. I was so excited. And so by the time I got done with her and everything, I felt energized and everything, and so I went out on my walk, and I felt really good, because I'm telling you, when the enemy attacks me with one of those, it just drains my energy. And I just thank you Lord for the victory. You've won the victory. The enemy is already defeated. He's already defeated on all of our behalf. And Lord, just help us to be that warrior that we're going to talk about, prayer warrior, Lord, and just using your word and putting on all the armor of God, and just fighting the enemy, and claiming your protection and all that, Lord. And your word says that we're not under the curse. You became a curse for us, and the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. We just praise you and thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for getting rid of all that garbage off of Missy. Amen. In Jesus' name. Glory, hallelujah. Okay. Anyone else? Did anyone not see what I put in the outreach chat today? Okay, everybody saw it. That's good. Robin didn't. Well, what I put in there was tonight's subject, which will be, what does it take to make a prayer warrior? I believe that's where I said it, something like that. If you want to be part of it, let us know and we'll get an invite. I hope that only the outreach gets in there. That's all. So far, it's worked quite well. Yeah. There you go. That'd work. All right. But anyway, some of us got it. And anybody like to open up what it takes to make a good prayer warrior for God? All right, Nick's got the answer. Go ahead, Nick.
My answer would be to pray to God.
Okay, that's a good start. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, in order to get on the outreach chat, you need to download Signal app. You need that anyway because that may be the only means of communication here in a little while. So yeah, I can once I get the number. All right. What does it take to make a great prayer warrior for God? Go ahead, Alana.
I was very blessed by the teaching you read or shared on the 13th from the Bible study by E.W. Kenyon.
Yeah.
And one of the things that stuck out to me is that in order to be an effective prayer warrior, we have to understand what it means to represent Christ and to utilize his authority. And what that meant to me was that I should never hesitate to command the spiritual world, because I am called to do that as a child of Christ and as a representative of the kingdom, and that I should be constantly doing that. And when you start to think in those terms, you find yourself constantly warring, which equals to constantly praying, which equals to all the other beautiful things that start to happen in your life because of the things that are changing in the spiritual world. So I think that that's a very, very important understanding, is just how much we have, just how much authority and power we have in the spiritual realm, and that we should be swinging that sword nonstop, and it's very eye-opening.
Amen.
Theo's going forward, boys. He's very excited.
Amen. Go for it, Theo. Amen, brother. Yep, that's a good. That's a good start right there. Anybody got anything they'd like to add? Let me just share a little something with you here to get things started. Is that okay? Shake your head. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Judy and Missy. Okay. this is from, how many of you know who E.M. Bounds was? E.M. Bounds. Okay, great. Some of you do anyway. Some of these old men of God of old had some great testimonies in their prayer life. E.M. Bounds was one of them. He said, prayer takes in man in his whole being, mind, soul, and body. It takes the whole man to pray, and prayer affects the entire man in its gracious results. As the whole nature of man enters into prayer, so also all that belongs to man is the beneficiary of prayer. All of man receives benefits in prayer. The whole man must be given to God in praying. He's talking about your whole being is given into prayer. When you do that, he goes on to say, you'll get faster and greater results. He said, the whole man must be given to God in praying. The largest results in praying come to him who gives himself, all of himself, all that belongs to himself, to God. And this is the secret of full consecration. And this is a condition of successful praying. And the sort of praying which brings the largest fruits. We might be getting fruits with a, you know, praying, but when you give your whole self, that's what he's talking about. You give your whole mind, soul, and body to it. And the Lord sees that, you're going to reap results that are going to be amazing. Is what he's talking about. And I like that thing that you put up there, Dave, on the outreach chat from George Mueller. He was a powerful man of prayer that he just believed God when he prayed for these orphans and the things he needed for these orphans. He built up, I forget how many orphans he took care of. You remember, Dave?
It was in the hundreds.
It was in the tens of thousands.
Okay, overall?
As far as the orphans, yeah. Now, the buildings he had, he built a bunch of buildings right there in England, in the same place. I forget the name of the town that he built them in. You remember?
Oh, yeah, he mentioned it. And some of his, I was reading some of it today and listening because Angelica put a post for an audio, and it's from Liberty Box, which is a free audio place. But yeah, I'll have to look in at the book real quick where it was at.
Yeah.
Somebody put it up there. He had quite a successful prayer life. Yeah, I got his answer.
Claire says, 5 orphanages, each has more than 1,000 for a period of many years. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, no. There was at least 10,000 kids that went through there. And he also educated them. Never ask anybody for a nickel. Never ask anybody for a nickel. He only prayed to God. And he built these great big structures to house these kids. And it was a massive undertaking that him and God did. All he did was ask God, and God furnished the money.
He made a statement in chapter 1 how he was at a point where he could send out a newsletter and hold briefings, in a sense, about what his ministry was doing. And share, you know, all about the ministry and the children, and there. He said, along with that, would have been their needs and all that stuff. Probably would have came out, and people would have been receptive of everything he said. But he said he was really didn't want to do that. He held off as long as he could because he didn't want to have man or get the go out there. And he says he knew he would have had his needs met doing that. But it wouldn't have been provided by God at that point. He wanted everything that was done and provided for this ministry that he was doing, and to be solely God was the one providing all of their needs and living by faith on that, because he wanted God to provide. He didn't want to be have man just give out the information like ministries do and put it out there and let people go and put it on their hearts and they start giving. He didn't want to do that. He just wanted God to be the one to provide everything he needed and have him put it on their hearts with him not saying a word about it.
What do you mean?
And
he kept a diary of all the things that that the Lord brought to him. All right, anyone else?
I'll read. He's got five things here, or six things.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
This is the beginning before chapter one. And it's kind of back then, and even probably today is a good thing. Prayer and that generation of people, they tried to be self-serving in any way. They tried to not have selfish prayer. And that was one of the things he does here in searching his heart before he made requests. And that's kind of a lost art, I guess, on our side. I mean, they wasn't always praying for self. He wanted to make sure it was pure prayer, not selfish in any way. And he kind of comes out here. He says, I seek at the beginning to get my heart to such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. Trying to remove self from the whole thing. 9/10 of the trouble with people is just here. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. When one is truly in this state, it is usually but a little way to the knowledge of what his will is. Having done this, I do not leave this result to feeling of simple impression. If I do, I make myself liable to great delusions. It says, I will seek the will of the Spirit of God through or in connection with the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word must be combined. If I look to the Spirit alone without the Word, I lay open myself to great delusions also. If the Holy Spirit guides us at all, he will do it according to the scriptures and never contrary to them. He says, next, I take into account the provisional circumstances. These often plainly indicate God's will in connection with his Word and Spirit. I ask God in prayer to reveal his will to me. In a right mind, what is your will? Thus, through prayer to God, the study of the Word, and reflection, I come to a deliberate judgment according to the best of my ability and knowledge. And if my mind is thus at peace and continues so after two or three petitions of this deliberate judgment, he came to me, I proceed accordingly. He says, in trivial matters and in transactions involving most important issues, I found this method most effective. That was George Mueller. That's how he approached prayer. He always went through that method.
Amen. Let's do this on the Signal app. Everybody that wants to get on it, you need to download the Signal app, come in there and message me. You can look me up in the Signal thing and message me, and then I will give you the invite into the outreach. That's a simple way to do it. I can't keep up with all these phone numbers. I think I already have them in the contact, but that's not the easiest way. The easiest way is to go ahead and download the Signal app and get on Signal app. Go in there and look me up and give me a message, and I'll get you in there. Okie dokie. Hot and smoky. All right. Anyone else? Deborah, did you just hear what I said? You got to download the signal app.
I did.
Okay.
I'm on it. Then, that's why I just said.
And signal.
Mm-hmm. Invite I'm on signal.
Me. Okay. That's now look me up.
I did. And I sent you an invite. I'm in a.
Okay. I thought it came through here. I saw it pop up. I thought it came through Zoom.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, it'll have to be after I get through. You know, of course. I'll do that. I'll get you right on.
Thank you.
All right. I'm sorry. I thought you were doing it because it popped up right here in Zoom. I said, what is she?
Yeah. I already had signal on. I already was on signal. Okay.
Anybody else on being a prayer warrior? Let's get off his signal out. The men of olden times who wrought well in prayer, who brought the largest things to pass, who moved God to do great things, were those who were entirely given over to God in their prayer. God wants and must have all that there is in man in answering his prayers. He must have wholehearted men through whom to work out his purposes and plans concerning men. God must have men in their entirety. No double-minded man need apply. No vacillating man can be used. No man with a divided allegiance to God and the world and self can do the praying that is needed. Holiness is wholeness, and so God wants holy men, men wholehearted and true for his service and for the work of praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entire without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what Miles is talking about here, to get the most effective prayer life is to be completely surrendered to the Lord. That doesn't mean that we can't pray as we get to that point, as we are maturing into that point, that God won't answer our prayers, because we've already seen that happen many times. But to be an effective prayer warrior, you need to give your whole self. I remember the story, and I related this the other night, I think, about John Lake over in Africa. When the bubonic plague pandemic came through over in Africa. And he went out, he had a man praying. There was a man that was interceding against that plague. And he went out there and checked on him, taking something to drink and something to eat. And he was in a bush out there in the desert, under a bush, praying, interceding, trying to get rid of this stuff. And he asked him, he said, how you doing? How's things going? How's it going? He said, if I could just get a little help, John, I believe we can make it. I believe we can do it. And this guy had been out there for days praying. And so John plopped down on his knees and started praying with him. And they both were praying. Then all of a sudden, this guy that had been praying jumped up and started running like a banshee warrior out into the desert. And Lake looked out there and he saw just this horde of demons. And as soon as they saw this guy running after him, they took off. And that was the end of the plague right there. He knew he had it won with one man interceding for this plague over this whole country. And he had dedicated his whole life, soul, mind, body to it, and had turned that plague around. Glory to God. Yeah, George. Go ahead, George. You have to unmute. I can't hear you.
There we go. Can you hear me?
There we go. Yes, sir.
Well, when you say warrior, a couple of things come to mind. It's to realize you're in a war And also to see, I think what creates a warrior is to understand the effects of the curse around us, and that we, you know, to be instructed in the facts that we can turn the curses around and hold off the curses and be the salt and the light. And when you see, you know, it's like Jesus having compassion on the multitude because they were as sheep without a shepherd. And that's what he puts us in. He puts us in situations where we see people around us without that shepherding influence, and we give them the good news. And then we see how resistant a lot of people in our sphere are. And then we have to take the weapons of our warfare and go to war. We have to tear down strongholds and build people up in grace and ask God to give them grace unto repentance. And it's a sanctifying process for us, because we have to walk it out ourselves. What we pray for other people, we have to check ourselves and say, well, am I guilty of the same thing? And that brings holiness where the rubber meets the road. So when somebody wants to know, well, who am I to be ministering to them, I can say, well, this is what I've had to walk out, in the pound of flesh that I've had to crucify to get to the opportunity to even to have experience and know what I'm talking about. And, you know, a lot of it's behind the scenes. We may never come to any acknowledgement or personal glory as a prayer warrior, but those are the, you know, those are the ones that are setting the foundation for somebody else to reap the harvest possibly. So, you know, to see the value in it, and to have tenacity not to let go, but to release faith and stand on faith and not waver and not let people talk us out of it. And then when you see these people in your lives and they want to try to push all your buttons, and you can just look at them in peace saying, I've been praying for you. There ain't nothing you can do that'll make me stop loving you, because I've been praying for you more than you can even imagine. And I've got you, and the Holy Spirit's got you, and you might as well give up. So I think just seeing the effects of the curse and knowing in our personal lives what prayer can do puts us in a position of power. So I've been dealing with it personally lately with some friends and associates, and I'm going to punish the devil every single chance I get. Amen.
Amen, George. Well said. That's an awesome way to look at it. That's the best way to look at it. Do you know what the fight is? Do you know that you're even in a spiritual warfare? Boy, I do. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Ann Rutter. How you doing, girl?
I'm good, thank you. I'm definitely seeing God's hand in a lot of things. Praise God. So I don't know about being a prayer warrior, but I did want to share something. Some days I'd sit in my son's room when he's struggling to sleep. And I used to do a lot of just normal prayers, you know. Oh, take care of this person that I love, or that person. And then I just start to pray in tongues. And it got so intense, I asked the Lord, and I've asked a couple of times, and I said, you know, if it's your will, can I understand what I'm praying for? Like, can I translate what it is? And I didn't think much of it, but I did want to know because of how intense it seemed. And I got a glimpse of what it was, and I knew it wasn't anything I would have been praying for, because it was such an anguish for the people that are lost. And I felt such an amazing love, and the words were, give us time, Lord, help us to bring in the harvest, give us the strength to bring in the harvest, give us the grace, Lord, pour out your grace, pour out your mercy, you know. And it was so intense. I knew it wasn't me. And so, yeah, just praying in tongues, you know, it wasn't, yeah. So I wanted to share that.
Amen. Yeah, when you don't know what to pray, pray in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows everything. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Andrew. That was great. Anyone else? What do y'all do? Yeah, Missy.
I just confess the Lord's word a lot, you know, of who I am and what God's word said, you know, just like Jesus did. It is written, you know. That's one major thing that I do. And and I just bind the enemy, you know, bind witchcraft. And yeah, there are times, like Anretta said, you know, I'll just like, Lord, I've prayed everything that I know. I've done all the warfare that I've done. And okay, I've prayed this about, I've prayed everything that I know to pray, you know, for all my family members and whoever. And Lord, and done the warfare. So, okay, I'm praying in the Spirit, and you use me praying in the Spirit to send your angels to do what I've prayed to bring it about, and whatever is necessary for right now.
Amen. That's a good way to do it. What do you do when you're really intense and in intense warfare? You really need to get this done because of the circumstances around you. And I'll tell you what I do, and I'm just, that's just me. What I do is I first pray in the Spirit. I ask the Lord to pray through me in the Spirit for the circumstance at hand. And it's, you know, and I'll just keep doing it. I'll keep doing it until the Lord starts showing me things to pray for in my language. I mean, in English. And then I'll start doing that. I'll start doing whatever he brings to my mind to do for that circumstance. And that's just me. That's what I do. Anybody else? I know there's some more prayer warriors out there. Yeah, okay, Julie. Go ahead.
One of the key things I've learned to do is making sure my heart's right, making sure the devil can't get in there with any kind of whatever, you know, his tricks are or whatever. But if I can't have faith, you know, sometimes, like Michael just said, praying in the Spirit first about things, because God will show me things. I mean, when I was in the work system of man, where I only had a little bit of time in the morning before I had to go to work and deal with everything, it'd be the first thing I'd do in the morning is, like, when I'd wake up, I'd get up, I'd ask, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and I'd go to praying in tongues while I was getting ready. And sit and read the word and that kind of thing. So, but definitely making sure that my heart's clean before God, my conscience is clean, that I don't have anything that the enemy can use against me. So we have boldness, right? We want boldness when we come to the Lord. And when I'm not there, when there's something amiss, you know, and I don't feel it, I mean, I just feel oppressed or whatever, there's something there, I have to stop and just ask the Lord, what's going on? You know, because I can feel that there's something amiss, and he'll either show me it's, you know, I need to make sure this is right, or this is wrong, or he'd just say, bind up doubt, you're getting hit with this, bind up this, you're getting hit with this. And because I wouldn't always recognize it, because it's confusion, there's witchcraft, there's things going on. So, you know, just binding up things that I believe the Lord that has hindered my prayer time before. things that the enemy would try to put on me, because we're dealing with serpents and scorpions, right? So we're dealing with things we don't see. So, you know, some of the things where the attacks have been on me have been with doubt and uncertainty, trying to put anxiety on me, trying to provoke me to get angry, trying to get me in to do something that would make me sin, like get angry and yell, you know. And I'm like, I don't need to yell at these demons. They have to obey me, you know, but they would just harass me sometimes, you know, and I would hear the Lord just say, now, you know, when I would command something, I'd hear him say, now stand. But I would feel all of this oppression, angst, irritations, anger, frustration all over me. And it's like, you guys have to go. I have commanded it and I've loosed the angels. You have to go and not get to a Jesus wanted me to get to a place where I wasn't repeating myself, because I would feel this stuff on me and I would do it again. Get off of me, you know, and just try to go about my whatever I'm doing, you know. So I've been learning to do that, you know, just learning, you know, listening to get with the Lord and just be quiet for him, like show me what's going on, because this is, you know, I don't like how I'm feeling. I don't like this stuff on me. So just being able to listen to the Lord and praying the Spirit a lot, because I know I'm doing something in the spirit realm when I'm praying in the Spirit and praying with my mind. There's some really awesome Psalms that are very effective for doing warfare, for, you know, God to protect and deliver and, you know, to bring down the wickedness and all kinds of things. And so you're praying with my mind, the things I know to pray about, because it needs to be done every day, because the enemy wants to come and steal. He wants to come in and harass, and he doesn't want us being effectual. He doesn't want us being effectual in ministry. He doesn't want us being effectual in our prayers. He doesn't want us to be ineffectual in whatever we've been called to do. He'll, you know, everything, distractions, all that kind of stuff. And it's really what the Lord's been showing me. It's really overcoming the mind of the flesh and not being moved by things. And the other thing that helps me a great deal is confessing out loud the word of God, but also confessing out loud and reminding the devil who I am and what God has given to me. And like Missy said, quoting the word, it is written, and just, it is written. It, God said this, and I am who he is in me. And if I rebuke you, it's Christ in me rebuking you, and you have to obey. I try to put the devil in his place. And what it does more for me is it builds me up. It edifies me too, that I feel empowered in the spirit, so to speak, a little bit when you start confessing those bold confessions about what God says about you, you know, and it will silence your enemy. You know, the word of God is powerful. His word does not return to him void, and learn to use the scriptures. That's your sword, right? Even if you don't quote it right, you're just agreeing with the word. You don't have to memorize scriptures, but you need to get part of it right. You know, it's just using the sword. And just, you know, just things that Brother Michael have said, or you guys have said, the Lord will bring things back to my remembrance about, I've been here before, you know, help me, God, what do I use? And he'll bring back to my remembrance something, you know, either something that Brother David said or something, you know, I heard in a teaching or read. You know, so just don't give in to the enemy, and we have to be really, onto his tactics, you know. Don't let him deceive you, because he'll use the word to try to twist it and get you in confusion or doubt or you know, serpents, they lie. And they'll put fear on you or anxiety, and knowing your authority and using it, and not back down. Just don't back down, and keep going. Use your faith, use your sword, use your helmet, you know, the salvation. Who are you? What has God given to me? That I find that very effectual. That's what I do.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yep, that's right, Benita. Use each other also. All right, anyone else? Give us some tips here. Yeah, Kara.
Okay. I'm going to use the example of today just because it's so fresh. There's many tactics or strategies, and they're different. There's two things that are specific, like this morning, to set my heart right. The Lord kind of shifted my routine. That would probably be the right word. And I was about to do this or that, and I just felt in my spirit the Lord say, "Who am I to you, Carol?" And that was amazing. I mean, I was, wow. I heard God invite me to tell him who he is to me. And that brought me so close to him. So I think that's that first place, is that when I know who he is and how loving he is, that readjusts and realigns me in the right place before I can even start prayer for anyone else. So that was amazing. And now I know why he was doing that. He was preparing me for this news that was going to come, which normally, like I said, would shift me, right? And when the news did come, I also, when I was done with the phone call, one of the first things I did, I didn't write to the group. That was just later, just to keep the covering and to keep going in the direction of that God is sovereign. I think that's the big one he's been teaching me. And so when I acknowledged the harshness of the world system, that when you're off work and you have insurance and then they deny you, what came into my heart was, thank God I have you, Lord. And then I started to pray for other people that are probably going through this because of these last 2 years, right? A lot of people are having anxiety and they don't know the Lord. And so I began to intercede for them. And then the Lord brought it to another level, and he asked me to pray for the guy that had to deliver me the bad news today. So I began to pray for that man and have compassion that he was just doing the job they've given him to do. And so that was amazing. And then after that, so that my mind would stay with the Lord, David, I listened to a teaching David gave this week, and in it there was this beautiful word of the invitation to the bride to come to the inner chamber with the Lord. And I was so moved by that. I had asked Michael for a copy, so he sent me the link. And I took that and I asked the Lord, I said, "Who would you like me to share this with?" And he had me call not one, but two women, and I just read it over them. So I just kept myself, maybe a little bit like what George was saying earlier, you know, I just kept harassing the enemy by just staying in praise and prayer for every single situation. Basically, for me, I guess the biggest thing is that I didn't allow the enemy, because of my proximity with the Lord this morning, I was more solid and didn't allow the enemy to move me back into a position of fear or back into a position of victim. Because I know that's a place that the Lord has helped me to overcome, and the enemy wants to shift me back into a corner. And so it's been amazing. And so that's one of the strategies, getting close to him. So You guys did talk about that, getting your heart right with the Lord. And then the other gentle question he asked me, and that could be, you know, something we could all use in the morning is, you know, who am I to you, Carol, or who is God to you, each one of you? And then the second thing he said, you know, if today was your last day on earth, what would be your priority? And that really helped me as well. It doesn't mean like, you know, you get rid of everything and you go crazy. It's as a Christian, as a child of God, if today was your last day, and given everything that you have in your life right now, you know, there are things you have to do, but what would be the most important thing? And that I don't need to answer that, but I'm just giving you guys these two beautiful questions he gave me today that just really, really brought me closer to him. So that's it. And then there are other ones, you know, like drumming and praising the Lord, but that was a whole other battle and a different type. And you guys were talking about tongues. Sometimes my other strategy when I want to get out of my head and the tongues doesn't work, because I have a heart of praise, I will sing in tongues. And that takes me to a whole other realm. And it's really awesome. So, you know, it's different for each person, but that's, those are some of my little gems I'm sharing with you. Thank you, Leslie.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, hang on just a minute. Okay, got it. Sorry about that. You're at it, June. All right. Anyone else on their prayer experience? Okay, Marilyn, I was going to call on you anyway. Praise God.
Oh, my. You know, one thing that really helps me is to come in with the right attitude. You know, it says we enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and we enter his courts with praise. And so, you know, when I come to the Lord in prayer, you know, sometimes, especially if, because I've been maybe doing a bunch of chores, you know, it's almost like you're in two different worlds. It's like you're in this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. You know, we're constantly, you know, trying to keep our mind, our heart, our thoughts, you know, focused on the Lord, talking to the Lord, you know, whether I'm doing, you know, laundry or cooking or out in the garden or whatever. But when I can actually go to the, you know, to the secluded place of prayer to, really spend some time thanking the Lord. You know, I wished I'd known this sooner. You know, it is such a blessing. It is such an honor. It is indeed a privilege that we can come and pray. That the God, the Lord God Almighty, the Heavenly Father is there. He is there, and he is there 24/7. You never have to wait out in the waiting room. You don't have to make an appointment. He's never on vacation. He's never out to lunch. You know, we are so blessed to be able to come and to just sit in his presence. And to me, it just to just take some time to even be sometimes, you know, if I've been kind of rushed or whatever, just to ask the Lord, help me to be still and know that you are God. And let the peace of his presence be upon us. I just agree. You know, there's just been so many lovely and good and wise things that have been shared here. You know, I love to confess the word. I love to pray the word. I love to pray in tongues. Things that I see myself struggling with, I can pray for the body about, because I know that if I'm struggling with something, other people are too. You know, praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us to strengthen us all in the inner man, to for Father to pour out that spirit of grace and prayer and supplication and repentance and faith on us. You know, there's always a deeper place to go in the love of Jesus. And there's always a higher place to go in his wisdom. And anyway, it's just so refreshing. It's such a blessing. And when you spend time with the Lord in prayer, you'll find that, you know, just during the day, when things do come up, you know, somebody sends you a prayer request, or somebody's got this problem or that problem, that it's a whole lot easier to respond if you've spent time in the presence of the Lord. And I know that we've got a lot of young mommies here that don't have a lot of maybe dedicated time, but the time that you can to do that. And also, when you do have dedicated time, to take time to listen, like Carol was saying, like Julie was saying. You know, it may be something that he wants to correct you on. It may be something that, you know, sometimes he'll bring something to me of something he wants me to repent of, maybe even be somebody I hadn't thought about in years, but, you know, that I had a wrong attitude about. And our Father is so gracious. He's so good. And so anyway, that's all. That's all.
Amen. Thank you, Marilyn. Yes, Julie.
Just something else. I wanted to speak. I put it in the chat, but one of the greatest things is praising and singing to the Lord, exalting him and telling him how much you love him and how awesome he is. And, you know, and thanking him that he has heard our prayers, that he has heard the cries of my heart. He has heard, you know, he sees what's going on, you know, what's happening within me. He sees what's going on in the world, that everything is concerning me, you know, or whatever it is. And just thank him that he is our God, you know, lift up his name, you know, and bless his name, and worship him. And, you know, just the devil hates when we praise and worship God, especially if we're suffering through something, you know, especially when we're in a trial, especially when we're, you know, he thinks he's getting the upper hand on you or whatever, and you start praising and thanking God for it. And, you know, so I wish, and maybe one day the Lord will allow me to see it, but I wish I could see what was going on in the spiritual realm when we're praising God, when we're praising and singing and worshiping God, you know, and what that's doing to our enemies, and making them to flee, you know, like Michael was describing earlier about, you know, hordes of demons that were running because this guy was fighting with everything he knew how, and he just needed a little help, you know, and we're here to help each other too. So it's, I just want to say that too. Just praise him and thank him and glorify his name. Tell him how much he is is worthy of what he's given to us and the sacrifice of Jesus, because we wouldn't be here without that, without him. Amen.
Amen. I remember, I think you mentioned this book before we began to record it, but that Prison to Praise is a good book that extols the use of praise, whether you're winning or not. You know, when things happen to you, praise God. When things happen that you don't like, praise God. And he just had success after success after success when he did that. Those things. And that's a great lesson on the praise part of it. I go around praising God for everything, thanking God for everything, you know. How many of you do that? Yeah. I barked my shin here a while back on the trailer hitch on my truck. You know, I don't know if you men know what I'm talking about. When you bark your shin on a trailer hitch, pain immediately goes right straight to your brain and tells you that pain is here, brother. And you go down and you start throwing snot, but you start saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and you do that and it goes away. It does. It goes away. You might have to, you know, put up with it for a few minutes, but that's all. Right, Dave? Go ahead, brother.
I was just going to say, you know, a couple days ago, and I'll have to pick it back up. I started reading Sovereign God to Becky. You know, we were just kind of going through it, a few pages. And it quickly reminds you and puts you in the perspective that the sovereignty of God and everything that's happening was designed. So there's nothing that's outside of his will in our life that's happening. And so you get where, you know, you realize even whatever you're going through, whatever's happening, it's a controlled environment. And so when we do these prayers and we're praying, we're in the will of God more than we know. Whatever's happening in our life, however things we're going through, whatever we're praying through and whatever we're praying for, it's all designed by God anyways, what we're having to go through in our lives. And so in that, people worry about, am I praying in the will of God? Am I, you know, is this something I should be praying about? Or, you know, they don't even have maybe an idea that they should be praying, or they don't understand that this whole, everything about their life is being played out. It's being orchestrated already. And so just by getting in there, acknowledging that and recognizing the sovereignty of God in all things, no matter what we're seeing or experiencing or, you know, out of control the world seems to be, there's nothing there that God didn't already have in store. So when we're praying about these things, yeah, we're praying in with the will of God. We are working with God's will. There's nothing that's not hidden that won't be revealed. And in our secrets of our hearts, when we bring it out, it helps us conform us into his will by doing all these things around us. He brings us into that secret place of God. And he does that intentionally just so that we have that time with him. And then we can still feel assured that God's in control. And I think that's one of the biggest things I think you see with good prayer warriors. They know the sovereignty of God. They know that he's got their back. And it's not like they're bringing something up to God that he doesn't know about. But they're confident to know God's in control and he's going to work all things according to his will and to his good purposes in our life. When we do pray for these things and we're praying, and we can have confidence that he's going to answer the prayer. And I think it's one of the things George Mueller noticed, you know, because even David talks about, once we start getting into this life of ours and understanding God's will in our life and having faith in God for all things and knowing his sovereign, then that puts us in this wilderness environment where now we're put where we have to rely and trust in God. And we're praying our way through these things. And it puts us in a place where we have to rest. And that's one of the things George Mueller had to do. He got where things all of a sudden start getting tight. And they had to worry about day-to-day things coming through. And it was not a comfortable situation for him. But he had to put himself in a place of weakness and trust God to provide all things for everything they needed, all their provisions, daily. That's not knowing what tomorrow would bring, because they know they're already short. But God would come through. And that gave them that wilderness experience to trust God. And that's kind of what you see in Exodus, what I'm starting to go through right now, where God will put you in that wilderness situation and he'll cause lack in your life. And it's there to build your faith so you know how to trust him on a day-to-day basis for all your needs, and that he's going to come through. He does that to build your faith and also approve and test you. So we know that's also part of this prayer, this whole prayer warrior thing. This it's a trial and a test on our part too, you know, as we go through life. And it's in a controlled environment. We got to realize that this is a controlled and test environment God put us in. And it's all according to his will. And as long as we're praying and we understand that, we're praying to his will on these things, it's going to go through. It's going to be answered. So just wanted to share that.
Amen. Thank you, David. Go ahead, Claire.
Hi.
Hi.
So I agree with everything everyone said, and I think it's so uplifting and really builds our faith when we pray. But a few years ago, I listened to some teaching from Derek Prince. I actually didn't know who he was, right? Like, I was so busy with David for so long, I didn't know who that was until I don't even want to say when, because it's a bit current. Anyway, I listened to one of his teachings, and like a little series. And I learned something which I knew from David, but the way Derek explained it was just a little bit more probably direct. I don't know what it was, but he said, whenever you're praying for your will and not the Lord's will, it's witchcraft, it's manipulation. And that has revolutionized everything. But you don't know what's your will unless you align everything to what the word is. That's the gold standard. And so when I'm praying, I try and only pray what I know to be in the word. Like, I don't try and go beyond what's in the word. So if I know that there's a promise for healing, I can confidently pray that. But I don't see too many prayers coming against trials and tribulations. I'm seeing lots of prayers coming for strengthening, which is exactly what Julie and Marilyn have said. I've seen lots of prayers agreeing with who I am in the image of the Holy One. When I try and pray, and I don't get to it a lot. When my kids were younger and they were still napping, because we were one of those families that napped during the day and everything was nice and structured, it was wonderful. And I had chunks of time where I could really dedicate myself to prayer if I wasn't catching up on sleep. But now my kids are a little bit older and they need me more of the time. So I had quite a lovely time when they were little. Now that they're older, they need me more to kind of help with writing assignments or, you know, other stuff in the afternoons that we need to do once we get through with our schoolwork. So I find I don't always have that time to either be in the word or in prayer. But I'm trusting that the Lord, he gives me time. In the summer when the sun shines, I get the sun coming into my kitchen when I cook. And it's the most glorious time of the Lord. Like, we just have such a good time. And because of our lives and how things are here, even if the kids are asleep, there's still Rian or a lot of our family members from other parts of the world want to chat with us. So a lot of times, time that you think would be well spent in the word is sometimes not. And I know a lot of you have got those ideas as well and realities. So what Rian and I have sought the Lord years ago about this, and we actually take time away from the family and allow each other these weekends where we really just go and seek the Lord. And I had a friend of mine who said to me a few years ago, she's like, I wouldn't know what to do on those weekends. Like, do you go to movies? And I'm like, no, I really just spend time praying. And what I realize is that if you don't know who the Creator is and what He's done for you and how much you can just talk to Him, that Him, what a friend we have in Jesus, like, it's just so wonderful. You can honestly take anything to Him. So I don't see it always as this. I do have times where I've got, you know, a huge covering on me and I'm going to the mattresses, as they say, but then there's other times where it's just this gentle talking with Jesus. And I think we can have all of it. We don't have to have one or the other. But the things that I find is that it has to be aligned with the word. It can't go beyond that. And when you start aligning your prayers to what the word says, that's the sweet spot. That's where things happen. So that's all I wanted to share.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. That was good. All right. Anyone else? Just a quick reminder, Thursday night is praise night. So I'll be singing. Yep, I'll be boogie singing. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Well, since you brought up singing, I usually start my day almost every day with this song. It's a song that's written over here in Ontario on a big obelisk in Port Hope, Ontario. And it's what a friend we have in Jesus. And I just put John 15 and 13 in there. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friend. I'll just read it, since it was a letter to someone's mother. You know, any mother or father would love to have a letter like this from their son, because people don't talk like this in usual conversation. You know, people don't talk like the Book of Ephesians either in usual conversation, but that's what the Apostle Paul was doing when he addressed the Ephesians. And what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Well, what a peace we often forfeit. Well, what a needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged to take it to the Lord in prayer. That's a biggie sometimes, for me anyway, discouragement. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. To the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find the solace there. You know, and over the time, you know, you just put a whole bunch of little messages on the side, because, you know, you write it in the center of the paper. Just put all these little messages on the side that you could glance at when you're singing and praising God with this. Prayer and praise or worship at the same time. Anyway, that's all I wanted to add. That's great. A bunch of other music here I wrote down just in case that one doesn't do for me before I start my Bible study. So praise God.
Amen. I was wanting you to sing it, Andrew.
It's not Thursday yet.
good comeback. Amen. Yep, it's not. Yes, that's right. All right, anyone else? Yeah, we sang it. Go ahead.
That's Joseph Scrivens, I think his name was. Yeah, it's an interesting story on how he came up with that letter to his mother. He was a full-grown man in his 30s by the time he wrote that.
Yeah, I never heard that, but that's good. Good to know the origins of some of those old songs. Well, let's listen to it. What do you think? You want to listen to it?
You gonna sing, Michael?
I'm gonna sing. I've got this YouTube channel that I use all my singing. I'm gonna go ahead and share the screen and let you see me do my work.
Does it got the words with it?
We'll see.
If we do, we can sing along.
Okay. Well, that's a gold song. Everybody ought to know the words to that. All right, let's do it.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What a peace we often forfeit. Needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
I like his version of "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus."
Yeah, that was a few years ago when I put that one up. Yeah, that was a good version. I like Alan Jackson. He's a good singer. Y'all like it? Yeah, me too. All right, anybody else got something I'd like to, yeah, hallelujah. Anybody else got something I'd like to add to this? Yeah, Claire.
Um,
I've often heard people say, oh, I can't pray like that. Or, oh, I can't do that. But I don't think it's an office. I don't think it's something, prayer isn't an office like being a teacher, right? Like it's not, it's for everyone. So you can, everyone can learn to pray. Everyone can learn to command. Everyone can learn to warfare. And it's not something that has to be done with great effort. Like I found if you just let the Holy Spirit lead you and you've got your prayer language, that's set there, you know, that your natural language will come along the more you use your prayer language. So it's just, that's just an encouragement, because I know we've got a few, you know, younger folks on, and you know, younger in the Lord, and myself included, you know, we just learn and just give yourself time.
Amen. Don't, the worst thing to do is not to pray. When no circumstances, you get in a big enough circumstance and you don't know how to pray, it's go ahead and easy to do it. The best thing to do is go ahead and start praying now for the little things, and that when something big comes up, you'll have that knowledge, you know, that God does answer your prayer. Just pray and believe. That's all right. God hears you. You know why he hears you? Because he's right here. He's right here. He hears every word you say. All you need to do is just trust God that when you pray, he's going to answer. And if he hears you, he's going to answer. As long as you keep that faith in there. And when you first, listen, when you first start out, he'll even answer prayers in some shaky situations where you were, you know, had a little bit of doubt maybe. But just to get you encouraged enough to go ahead and keep on praying. I've seen him do that with me early on many times, you know. But don't pray in doubt and unbelief. Always pray with the conviction that God's going to do it, whether you believe it or not, because that enemy's going to sit there and tell you, and you'll hear, you ain't going to believe this, are you? I know you ain't going to believe this. No. The Word says, if the Word says it, God's going to do it. He's going to answer my prayer. Devil, you get out. I ain't listening. Yeah, I told you this afternoon. I just go up and go, la, 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 la. I ain't listening. I ain't listening, devil. Because he'll do that to you. And all you have to do is just not listen. I'm not listening, devil. Get out of here. But here's what the Word said. The Word is over and above anything that you can tell me. Because I know you're a liar and you're the father of it. So bless God, I'm going with the Word. And that's what we do. We just stand on what he said. When everything around you is falling, you stand. And when you can't stand anymore, stand. That's what we do. As prayer warriors. That's what a prayer warrior does. He keeps fighting until the win, till the battle is won. And it's already won before you ever start battling. That's what you got to know. Yes, he is, dearly. He's already defeated, praise God. That's the great thing about this war that we're in. All we've got to do is just sit here and in faith and believe that God's done it. Go, Missy.
One thing that comes to my mind is the Lord reminded me of this the other day, you know, when I was at war. I think it was, you know, probably when I had one of those headaches, you know, it's like the Lord said, don't look at the problem, keep your eyes on me. You know, that's, you know, just to keep your eyes on him, and what you do to keep your eyes on him is you just, you know, you speak his word and what his word says, and rather than the problem. And sometimes for me, you know, I just need to you know, the enemy wants to be constantly there at me, reminding me of whatever it is, you know, that I'm battling, and wants my mind to be on that all the time. And sometimes the Lord would just have me do something, you know, maybe give me something, remind me that something needs to be done in the house. But as I'm doing that, you know, keeping my mind on the Lord, you know, but just to be, just to mope around and, you know, the enemy just keeps attacking your mind, find something to do to keep your mind off of it. But, you know, at the same time, keeping your mind on the Lord, you know, not just moping around doing nothing. So that's, you know, it's like the enemy that you know, will paralyze you. And because this was my past experience, you know, just paralyze me and get me in depression and that I don't do anything. Do anything in the physical realm, you know, it keeps me from doing things that I need to be doing. And that's what the enemy will do, you know, with depression, keeps you from doing the things that you need to do. And you know, you just, and you know, the thing that's helped me, which was mentioned here too, is just praising and worshiping the Lord. You know, and praying in the spirit as I'm worshiping the Lord, singing. Well, the enemy hates that. That just chases the enemy away. It defeats the enemy. So there's things also that I didn't mention earlier.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Robert, did you want to say something, Robert? Oh, okay. Might have been a mistake. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
I would just add that, you know, our faith binds the devil. When you agree with the word of God, that's going to bind the devil. And if you didn't listen to Sunday's broadcast, it was from the Real Good News. Remember the chapters off the top of my head, but it's just, you know, about our authority over the demons and that kind of thing. It's a good. It was a good, just reaffirming teaching. And sometimes we forget, we get caught up in things, but it's not. Thank you, Claire. Yeah, chapters 11 and 12 in the Real Good News. Read it, listen to the audio. But yeah, just to agree with the word and confess the word, because that binds the devil. When you give in to doubt or unbelief or discouragement or fear or anything like that, you know, then the enemy's got the upper hand. So it's just, you know, fight the good fight of the faith, you know, and just keep swinging your sword. It's you already have the victory, and it's I have to remind myself all the time about things, because the enemy is always attacking us. You know, he doesn't give up, and we can't give up. And that's just you can't just know that it's done, find it, and keep going. Like Missy was saying, sometimes you just got to step away from whatever the thing is and just go about your day doing whatever else. And then the next thing you know, that whatever it was is gone, you know, because enemy, that's one of his tactics I've noticed too, is just to get you, you know, focused on so much on what it is that he's afflicting you with or whatever, that it's hard to get past that. And so we're all learning, you know, we're all learning, and I learn from you all, and I learned from just rereading the word. And another thing I will say is read the word out loud. Put it out there into the spirit realm. Whatever you're reading is the word of God, and no word of God should be void of power. Amen.
Amen. That's true. Absolutely. Thank you for. Hey, girls. Making time to what y'all doing there? Where's your brother? What y'all do with him? Y'all got him locked up in the closet somewhere. Lord of God.
Yes. How did you know?
Oh, my. All right. Anyone else? We got a few minutes left.
So, Michael, if we talk about prayer and then we've, Julie's mentioned getting in the word, what are the other spiritual disciplines that I'm asking for? Like, I know the answer, but I'm just asking for a group discussion. It would be so nice to hear. What are the other spiritual disciplines required for a sanctified life?
Well, since you've already got some in mind, go ahead and...
No, it's not for me. I just want to know.
Just ask, and you shall receive.
What are the other things that can keep a believer on track? And are there things that we do that maybe err into works or because of a bad translation of a Bible? Or I'm thinking specifically about... And I know a lot of us here know the answer, but a lot of times I find people who are into praying also want to be also fast a lot. And I don't think there's anything wrong with fasting. I like to do it. Let me not say I like to do it.
Yeah, I don't care nothing about fasting myself.
You know what I mean? Like, I know that it's good. I know when I fast, my like it's... I can almost smell the flesh burning. But that's not required to get a result. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we need to remember, because there are a few translations, aren't there, that add that in. When they asked Jesus, the disciples said, why couldn't we, you know, cast that demon out? And he said, well, that only goes by prayer, but then there's a few translations that add in and fasting, but that's not in the numerics. Not that I want to go into teaching or anything. I'm just asking, you know, like, I think...
All right, let's do this, yeah. Claire. Let's talk about fasting next Tuesday night, because Thursday night is praise. You'll have the whole week to research fasting. And David's teachings on it also. I think he's got some teachings on it, doesn't he, Julie? Well, I know he does. He talks about it in, I can't remember which book it is. But anyway, that's a good subject. It's one that's been mishandled a lot. When do you fast? That's one question. That's be the first question we'll ask. When do you fast? And don't answer tonight. I know most of you know.
Not when you're hungry.
Well, that's exactly right. Oh, my. Yeah. That's not a good time to do it. I tell you, I look back. I'll say this next Tuesday night, but just look back on some of the things that you've done in your fast in the past and how you tried to supersede God, you know, going around cutting corners and things like that. Spiritual fasting is good too, Joe. That's right. Exactly. That's going to be part of the discussion also. So that's part of fasting. So that'll be our subject next Tuesday night. Anybody got a prayer request before we Okay, there it is. Judy's got it up there. 5-part on fasting.
Look in the chat.
Yeah. Go ahead, Missy.
It didn't come to me earlier to ask for prayer for it was either early hours this morning or late last night. Merle's brother Dale that had cancer, he passed away. And there were different ones asking, you know, concerned about him and where he is with the Lord or whatever. And Merle's oldest living sister spoke to him and all, and she felt like he was good with the Lord. And I know that they had somebody come and baptize him. I'm sure it was just sprinkling sometimes. That's all you can do. But anyway, so I just want to pray for that. Father, I pray, Lord, that you comfort the hearts of all his children and grandchildren and the rest of the family, Lord, and that they all see that Dale is with you, Lord, and that it's not a time of mourning as much as it is to celebrate and praise and thank you that he's with you, Lord, and just comfort hearts and put that peace and rest and assurance, Lord, in everyone's heart that he's with you. And I thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's pray for Rhema. Father, we lift up Rhema to you, and we thank you, Father, for her desire to serve you in a way that would be pleasing to you, Father. And we ask and we pray right now. If y'all gonna believe with me? Okay. We ask and we pray right now, Lord, that you show her what it is and how you want her to respond to whatever this circumstance is. And we thank you for doing that, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you do it in a way that it would not be any confusion whatsoever in her mind. And I thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I command all kinds of spiritual warfare coming against her to confuse her out right now in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that I'm forgetting who it was, Rhema has clarity of thought to you, Lord. And I thank you for giving her the answer in Jesus' name. Y'all believe that? Amen. Does anybody else want to pray? Go ahead, Julie.
Father, we bless Rhema, Lord. We pray that you would lead her by your peace, by your word, that you will give her clarity of mind, and you will show her by the Spirit, by your word, give her a dream, help her to discern what is you. We don't have to do what anyone tells us to do that's contrary to what your word says, and we don't have peace about it, that we don't do anything until we know what you are saying, Lord, and we don't move unless you move us, kind of like the cloud by fire and the cloud by day. They moved when the cloud moved. So, Lord, just bless Rhema with just that peace from you that passes all understanding. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Yes. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Look for it, girl, because it's coming. It is coming. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right, Nick, what you got, brother?
We're heading up north to Boyne City tomorrow night.
Oh, man, fight it, Nick. Fight it. Really. All right. Well, y'all have fun up there. Y'all going up to the lake?
We're going actually for a tractor show.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds a lot better. Amen.
Yeah, old tractor. Really old. Really old tractors. Oh.
Well, how old is really old? It depends on where you are in life. You know what I'm talking about?
And I get to drive one of them.
Get out of here, do you?
Yes.
Awesome, man. That is awesome. Stick a pair
of pictures. I'll take a video of it and send it to you. How about that?
That'll be great, man. Take some pictures, will you? Videos. Have your mama take a video of sitting up there on that tractor doing some farming.
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
All right. All right. Probably the tractors that you look at, probably some of them that I used to run years ago.
Yeah. There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah. All right. Well, take some pictures.
Okay, all right. I will.
All right, anybody else? Amen. That's good advice, Carol. Thanks. Anybody else? All right, Lord, I just thank you for this night, and I praise you, Father, that hopefully there were some revelations in people's minds about being a prayer warrior. We're all commanded to do that. And Lord, I thank you for training us in a way that would be most effective in ours and the people around us' lives. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight is going to change the attitude of a lot of people about prayer. And I praise you for it, because it's going to be something that gets us through the times ahead, is this prayer, effective prayer. And we praise you, Father, for doing that in all of us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. We just praise you, Father. Yes, boldness is good. Just declare and decree a thing, and the Lord will follow through. Amen. All right, y'all be blessed, you hear? We'll see y'all later.